You're listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com. This episode of the Igniting Souls Show is part of our Ignited Entrepreneur Series, where we get to talk with business professionals around the world who are on fire in their entrepreneurial journey. I'm your host, Mike Domini. Joining me today is Ted Bradshaw, the CEO of Sisential. Ted, thanks so much for joining me, man. I'm so glad to be able to sit and chat with you for a little bit.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. Thanks very much for having me. Really excited to be here.
Awesome. So Ted, can you talk to, we'll talk about your entrepreneurial journey here in a little bit, but could you explain a little bit about Sisential and what you do, how you spend your time?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would say the majority of my time is spent as an EOS implementer.
Fantastic. So, yeah, our audience has some familiarity with EOS. I know that Igniting Souls runs on the entrepreneurial operating system, so I'm glad to be able to speak on that as well. That's awesome.
Yeah, and well, it's great that you're running on it, Mike, and I'm sure you're getting good value out of it. I've gotten a lot of great value myself in working with small medium-sized businesses, helping them implement EOS. So that's where I fill and spend most of my time. Sisential is an endeavor that is it's connected, I would say, to EOS in that it really focuses on the entrepreneur and the leadership team as individuals, whereas EOS is designed for the leadership team in order to help run a better business. And where Sisential comes in is once a business is starting to run well, once the owner has more time and feels in more control of their business, and the leadership team are all the right people in the right seats, you probably understand that term. Mm-hmm. Often what happens is there's an opportunity to start to turn a little more inward and realize, and I find entrepreneurs realize that now with their businesses under control, other parts of their life aren't necessarily under control, or there's now time to spend on those other things like relationships, like their own wellness. So that's where Sisential comes in.
Well, that's fascinating. I love that you mentioned both of these and how they're linked. And for anyone listening now who is not necessarily familiar with EOS, it's an entrepreneur operating system that helps a business company function around that entrepreneur visionary role, right? And all the moving parts that come from that. And you then, as an implementer and coach, you come alongside these businesses, help identify some friction points, some growth points, some opportunities, some challenges to really get things lined up. And so then if I understand correctly, you've started this Sisential, which is really leveling up, right? So you get to that point where it's like, all right, EOS seems to be running pretty well. Now you personally, you the visionary, you the leadership team, can we really look inward? I love how you mentioned that, really take a look inward, because I think often entrepreneurs tend to try to look at the big picture, look outward so far, right, that there's that blind spot, and it's right inside them.
Yeah, exactly, Mike. And with what, so EOS, three things that EOS does, and When a company or a leadership team or an owner engages an implementer like myself to help them, really what we work on are three things we call vision, traction, and healthy. And vision is about getting that leadership team all on the same page with where the company's headed and the plan to get there. Traction is using the system, the EOS system, with simple tools to execute on that vision. And then healthy is working with that leadership team to become a healthy, cohesive group. Often they're not. It's important that they are, because as the leadership team goes, so goes the rest of the organization. Mm. So that's vision, traction, healthy. And then the leadership team leads and the rest of the company becomes solid on the vision, focused, accountable, and disciplined. And they become a healthy workplace where everybody loves working together and rowing in the same direction. And so this, the system itself really helps getting that leadership team all on the same page, EOS does. And from there, what I have found in my experience, I've been doing it for 5 years now, over 500 sessions. And it's interesting working with these high achievers. There's a drive, you know, it's like, okay, now my business is under control. Now what? You know, what's next? And it seems to be this perpetual, okay, I set this goal, I hit this goal, now what am I going to do? I've experienced this in my life, my career, my entrepreneurial journey, and I thought, it dawned on me that, well, is it this constant striving? Is it this constant trying to climb the mountain? And I've worked with some amazing people, successful by many definitions, but still something not quite fulfilling for them. Mm. Not that they're, they might be 80% of the way there, Mike, and by every other measure, it's like, what more could you possibly want? There's still something missing. There's still something, and that's where that turning inward, I've really found it's resonating and connecting with these entrepreneurs.
What have you found to be missing? What have you found, if you can share maybe some of the discoveries that your clients, that these visionaries and leadership teams have made? Obviously not naming any names, but yeah. what has been your experience in what they've discovered?
Well, so here's a common theme. Mm-hmm. We get to a place and within EOS, we do some team help. There's some team building exercises we do. And those are initially designed to, again, get some vulnerability to happen, open up so that, you know, everyone can see that we're just human and we're just, you know, trying to do our best. When we kind of break through that level and we get to a certain level of health and a certain level of trust, I've found that some of the aha moments come with recognizing where these owners or entrepreneurs are recognizing that they've still got more in the tank, but what they've done so far, they don't quite feel like they've accomplished really what they're here to accomplish. No matter how successful their business might be, no matter how healthy their teams are, there's a missing, I guess the best way to put it, Mike, is there's a missing purpose or not a real clarity of individual purpose. The business has a purpose. A lot of the objectives they have in their life have purpose. They don't, or they don't quite feel like they have identified it or are fulfilling it.
Wow, that's kind of harrowing to recognize that you could be a high achieving, high performing CEO for decades and get to a point where your business is running just fine as far as a business goes, but you get to a point where it's like, wait, I don't actually feel like I'm accomplishing my own purpose in life. And yeah. I think it's so easy to get so focused on everything else that part gets dropped. That's a good reminder, I think, for entrepreneurs starting out to not lose sight of that, to define it. First of all, maybe it was never defined in the first place, but to define that and never lose sight of that, it doesn't necessarily get clearer as you go.
No, and here's what happens, and that's, I'm glad you mentioned the starting entrepreneur, and if I think of many of my companies I've worked with and myself, had I taken this approach earlier on, would have been further ahead. And this is what I would encourage those sort of budding entrepreneurs in your audience. Rather than just taking a look at what the current trends are, or you know what it looks like that's popular today, or where a lot of money can be made. You know, that's often where you start as an entrepreneur. I want my own thing, and I want freedom, and I want to make better than average money. That might sum up why people start this. Plus, they can't work for someone else. if I would encourage them to start by thinking about, definition of purpose is really what is it that they can be great at? Something that they love to do. Mm. And there's some pretty simple practices to do this. If they just simply look at some of their talents, right? So what are their natural born gifts that they've always been better than someone else at, that others have told them, wow, that looks so easy. How's that come easy to you? And then they think, well, isn't it easy to everybody? And the fact is no. So talents, take a look at those talents, draw on the experiences that they've had. You use the experiences, educational, family, work, all of those things that have made them who they are to this point, use those and really get introspective on those. Examine what motivates them. So really think about what motivates them, because it's hard. Building and growing a business is hard. They will need the passion and the motivation to pull them through those times when they want to quit and say, this sucks, it's not working. That's where those motivations will pull them through those passions. Then they have to get honest about their personality. So what type of person are they? Are they introverted? Are they extroverted? There are lots of assessments, Colby, DISC, to give them a good sense of their EQ, their emotional quotient. These are all important things. And then finally, strengths. So Strengths Finders is a great assessment for this. Again, what have they developed as strengths? And I call that a temperature check, right? Talents, experiences, motivations, personality, and strengths. If they use those as a starting point, it will help them. The analogy I use, Mike, is a beach ball. And so the first time you do this work, all the things that you think you could be great at and you could build a business around, they could fit in a beach ball, okay? As you start to pursue it, as you start to go down the path and focus on it, think of that beach ball as becoming more focused, like a basketball, then a volleyball, okay, a baseball, really getting tighter and tighter. That's a great filter to help these new budding entrepreneurs decide what business they should be in. So there's my, if I could do it, if I go back 25 years, there's my wow.
Ted, now that's dropping some huge value, man. That's good, not just for budding entrepreneurs, but also just a good check for some who are further down the path. And oh boy, wait a minute, I didn't make the most important things the most important things yet. That's fantastic, man. Thanks so much for sharing that process and those priorities with people. I'd like to ask you personally, when did you first consider yourself an entrepreneur? How did you decide that, I want to be an EOS coach, an entrepreneur, and an integrator, and really make a business around helping other companies like that? When did that start for you?
Well, so my first entrepreneurial bug, Mike, started when I was 12 as a paper boy. And
I love that.
This was back when you basically had to pay for the papers first, right? You need to buy them, and then you had to collect from the customers, and you physically had to go collect. So it taught me some really great practices right away, and from there I followed a pretty typical path, perhaps on going to school, getting education, then going to where I worked for IBM and Xerox. Didn't like the bureaucracy, and would love the training, but just didn't like the bureaucracy. And so I just started my own business from there. So I had five businesses over the last 20 years, and three of them successful, two learning opportunities. The common theme, and this is back to that beach ball, I was that person. I was that entrepreneur. In the .com, I was like, I've got to be in technology, right? Why? Well, just because everybody seems to be doing well in that. So that I chased technology. I had an educational software firm, and I altruistically, it was for K-12 students, and I wanted to help students. You know, I really did. There was kind of a help factor, but the help factor came after the money making factor. Now that I look back on it, I had those things backwards. So over the course of these startups and these companies, one thing rang true to me that if you really can find a way to help and you really are helping, the money will come, the success will come. EOS, for me, I had always enjoyed coaching, and I'd always enjoyed mentoring others. And when I was able to come to a confluence of my experience, and it took time for this, Mike, I wouldn't have been able to do this 10 or 15 years ago. I just wouldn't have been, even though I wanted to. It took those successes and failures and bumps and bruises and coming, you know, and the peaks and the valleys and some real sort of look in the mirror moments to realize that I've got something to offer with this experience. And then one of the brilliant things about EOS is its simplicity. It's simple. The concepts are timeless, they're proven, but it's also systemized. And so for me, having this system that works, that's timeless, it's not fancy bells and whistles, I could marry that with my experience. And those two things together, when I got in front of the audience of these entrepreneurs, that's when the magic happened. And probably for the very first time, Mike, I can authentically and legitimately say I am absolutely helping. And it's, I don't want to give too much away here, but it's almost effortless when you get into that zone. So when I found it, when I found EOS and started doing it in my own company, I just knew that this was what I was meant to do. And now fortunately, and I feel blessed, the results are very good for me and my clients.
I love it. That's so good. I love how you've always enjoyed helping people, right? That's always been part of your DNA. That's always been a part of who you are and what you want to do in the world. And to kind of go back to what you're talking about in your advice to starting entrepreneurs and recognizing your unique ability, recognizing what you find easy, effortless, something that fills you up like that. It really sounds like part of your journey was recognizing that helping people, coaching, mentoring really was your place in the world. And once you started to put that first and recognize that as what you could offer that not everyone can do, that's when you started seeing the success. That's when you started seeing the growth. That's when you started feeling the purpose that you had.
Yeah, it is, Mike. And you have to pay attention to the universe as well. Now, you have to pay attention to why are certain opportunities being presented at certain times? And how are you feeling in those moments? So for example, I was being asked often to help with junior achievement as a business group for young, like elementary students, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd get asked to go talk to a class and then I would get asked to help with, I'm part of a entrepreneurs organization and there's a accelerator, entrepreneurs, EO accelerator. These are small businesses trying to grow. And I would do this stuff for free and I'd get a lot of enjoyment out of it. And what I realized is that if you follow that, the money will come. You know, the money will come. And sometimes, at least for me, I may have said no to some things because I couldn't see how you could monetize it. And that was short-sighted. Because sometimes when you're getting requested to do things, even if it's not in the main, you know, your business or what it is you're currently working on, pay attention to where others are coming and asking you to do some things, even though you don't see it in yourself, others may. And that's a very good indicator of where there's value that you can provide to others, because they see it in you. And that's the path to follow, rather than trying to force it, if that makes sense.
Good. Being aware of the opportunities around you, being aware of what other people are saying about you and to you, is often more insightful than anything you can think of yourself. Often, I mean, you know yourself well, but I think there are more insights from other people. And really, when you're trying to reach other people, it's what they see in you is really where your value is. That's a good reminder. Here's a question, Ted, I've got for you. You mentioned how 15, 20 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to do what you're doing now. And you also mentioned for entrepreneurs, finding where you have the most value is, and focusing on that, is then you'll eventually find that the money, the success, the growth comes from that. So those bring to mind the concept of patience. And I know there are visionaries, high-performing entrepreneurs are characteristically impatient, and not in like a judgmental way, but just an impatience with life and progress, always pushing, always wanting more. And that's what makes them so successful. And that's a good quality. But there's also just the sheer fact that things take time to develop. How do you manage, maybe personally, or how do you coach an organization to manage this tension between impatience with wanting and striving more and the reality of needing to be patient for things to develop and clarity to form?
Yeah, great question. First of all, what I coach is we have to run our own race. We have to run our own race. And often where some of the impatience comes from, it is absolutely internal, and you're right. Visionaries and other leaders, they're hard charging. They're wanting for more. They're wanting to change the world. You know, Steve Jobs, make a dent in the universe. All of that said, it's important not to compare to what someone else or some other organization is doing, especially in the age we're in right now, where the information that gets served up is often the anomalies and the outliers, but they're the wildly successful ones. And so everyone wants to be Facebook, and everybody wants to be whatever, you know, Apple and all the rest of it. Well, the reality is that most businesses take years in order to mature. You know, there's some milestones. Can you survive the first year? Good for you. You just beat half the businesses that started. The next big milestone is getting through the fifth year, because as organizations change, ceilings get hit and you have to move through them. And maybe what got you to 5 million isn't the same that's going to get you to 10. And so there are these natural growth levels that require change, and it takes time to get there. You don't know what your $10 million problems are going to be when you have no revenue. And so to start thinking about what that looks like is futile. And so run their own race and set goals that are going to push, but set goals that are achievable. And celebrate them when they're there. Celebrate them when those goals get achieved. And every step of the way, just acknowledge how well we're doing. Look at the successes we've had. Now we're here. Now we can move to the next level. So those would be the two things. Run your own race. Set aggressive but achievable goals and celebrate them when you're there.
That's, and then set the next. Good. Celebration is such an important aspect to pause, right? And be encouraged by the progress, because I think it's easy to become discouraged that you're not where you want to be. But to celebration is that intentional pause. Look where we've come. Look what we've accomplished. Look at the successes that we have seen, and let that inspire you and push you forward. I think that's huge. Oh, thanks for going there with me. I think that the whole idea of patience is such a tough one to tackle, and I think you've dropped some huge value this whole conversation, Ted. This has been good. Hey, I got a question for you in our last minute or two here. We're Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, right? We love books, and we love authors. Do you have a book? And if not, that's okay. What would you write about if you're willing to share with us your thoughts? What's important to you? Could be EOS related, might not be. What's on your mind, Ted?
Well, Mike, thank you for asking. I have a book in the works, and
oh, fantastic.
So it's in the works, and it's all it's being written for that audience we talked about, many of your audience, high achievers, that are looking to achieve success, continued success through their purpose. And so that's what the book is going to be about. Number one, rather than being driven by certain things that might be external to us, and things like materialism, things like trying to impress others, those sorts of external drivers, rather than being driven, be guided by purpose. Mm. And so that's, so there's the book will be about what are some techniques and tools to uncover that. And then know that it's a journey. It's a lifelong journey as you focus it, as we talked about, focusing, getting tighter and tighter on that purpose. And there's some guide rails or guardrails that I share in the book that we have to tend to and sharpen. And those are the things in our life. And there's six, and I call them the essential six: mind, body, and soul, food, money, relationships. So we have to tend to those six. So that's coming. That's
being guided by your purpose and establishing guide rails to keep you on track.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Well, we look forward to hearing how that develops. And I'm going to drop in the show notes here a link to tedbradshaw.com so people can find you there. Whether we have someone who says, oh man, I need Ted's coaching for my business, we need some clarity, we need some EOS in our life, then they can contact you there. Also, I'm sure we can hear more about the book as it develops and is available from that website as well. And so that'll be a good next step for people. I think that's the time that we have, Ted. I know we could probably talk a whole lot more, and you've offered so much value to our listeners today, and I'm super pumped about that. So thanks so much for your time, man. I appreciate you being here.
My pleasure, Mike. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the questions. Thanks for having me on. And
absolutely. Hey, we should have you back sometime when your book is out. We can talk more about some of those guardrails and talk about purpose. I think we can't talk about those things too much. I think it's always a good time for that conversation, man. So we'll have to take a look at that in the future. That'd be awesome.
Love to.
All right. Well, Ted, I appreciate you. This has been another episode of the Ignited Entrepreneur Series. Many thanks to our special guest today, Ted Bradshaw, EOS integrator, coach, and CEO of Sysential. And this is Mike Dominey, and I'll see you next time. Stay ignited. Thanks for listening to the Igniting Souls Show. At Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, we help authors, coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers write, publish, and market their books the right way and turn them into 18 streams of income. We invite you to our annual Igniting Souls Conference. Learn more at IgnitingSoulsConference.com.